Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So the time is now 15:45 on Wednesday afternoon. That's UK time. The Zoom meeting started exactly a quarter of an hour ago. And there's a reason for that. We've had, even by Pete's standards, we've had abnormal levels of faffing. But it's nice. It's nice. I've enjoyed it. It's put me in a good mood. Yeah.
It's good to know nothing's changed.
You wouldn't have it any other way.
Nothing's changed. Yeah. Do you want to do a count, Ned?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, kind of. I'll make it work without the count. I've moved on from
you're
the count.
So, you're a legendary. Oh, well done, Ned. Yeah. How are we doing? How was Christmas, New Year's? We haven't spoken since... Actually,
no.
We haven't spoken verbally since then. We've obviously WhatsApped, but no...
A little. That's been quiet.
Oh, we did. A little briefly. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's been quiet.
Yeah. 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 Pete, yeah. Very quiet, even in this pod.
Quiet. No, it's been quiet for me as well. Christmas was all right.
This guy 2 months ago who was gibbering for Christmas.
I just build it up too much and it's not healthy. But New Year was great. It was lovely. And January, I absolutely love... I'm sounding like myself a month ago about Christmas. I love January. I really do. No, I do. And it's in a different... It's in a more healthy way. A far more healthy way than the way I love Christmas. Because people don't like January. People complain about it. It's a long month, you know. Christmas was great. Now it's January. I love it. Love it. Yeah, I go into full recluse mode. I don't see anyone. I work on myself. I exercise more. I get into this routine where I start to think, why would I want to be like anything else?
Christmas Pete.
It's like the opposite of Christmas Pete. And then, like everybody else, it kind of just slowly falls apart as the year goes on. And then you get to Christmas again. And then you just repeat every year.
So if your personality is like this big seesaw between Christmas Pete and January Pete, like where's the middle? Which month of the year is like the middle point, the middle of the fulcrum, like where you're just level-headed, normal Pete, and you're not either side of that kind of April Pete? What's April Pete like?
What's April? Like Ardennes Pete?
Ardennes Pete!
No, there's still a bit of discovery going on.
The one that no one's interested in.
I don't know. Good question. I'll let you know this year when I'm...
We'll monitor. We'll track you. So, Ned, you're going to fill us in on what's going on in the cycling world?
Well, there is a move afoot, David, with our friend... Oh, no. You can't hesitate to call him a friend, David. But
Dickie Plouge.
Yeah, Dickie Plouge. You knew exactly what
that.
I was going to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. Dickie Plugger. The Plugger.
What's happened? Ricardo.
Yeah, they're sort of ramping up. You know, your conference you're in Madrid with all the gazillionaires.
Yes.
The Formula One cycling.
The one that I sat there around a table and said would never happen in front of all of them. And then we met in London in the really noisy pub and Ned said it would never happen. And then I was like, oh, maybe I was right then. But actually, the more I think about it, maybe we're both wrong.
It'll never happen.
Yes. That's cool. Yeah, that could have tipped the seesaw right there.
He did an interview. This is what's it called? One Cycling, isn't it? Is that the initiative?
That's the initiative. Yeah,
yeah. So it doesn't make much sense from start to finish. I mean, that might be worth discussing. Mm. So I don't know where this kind of putative or like mooted Saudi money fits into the whole thing, unless
Ned, do you want to give us the elevator pitch on what One Cycling is, so our listeners can understand?
Well, a lot of the teams have, as far as I understand it, and I'm really not up to the details. Go to different podcasts if you want accurate detail and all this sort of thing.
That's why it's an elevator pitch.
Why are you listening?
Why are you listening to this? It's going to be inaccurate from the start to finish. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, David, because you've obviously got your eye across this a little bit. But a number of the teams, and I don't know which, have signed up to a kind of pre-negotiate, agreement thing with One Cycling, where they have they've signed NDAs, actually, haven't they, that they're not allowed to go public and talk about what is being discussed about where this project might end up. The end goal of the project is to harmonize the cycling calendar, right? That's been tried many times before, and it actually kind of exists, doesn't it? It's called the World Tour. But what's interesting about this initiative is that it has the UCI's backing. So the UCI are prepared to countenance the end of the World Tour and move towards the next idea of making it like a Formula One circuit. That's the holy grail, isn't it? And the object of all of that is so that the teams can derive money. And it's driven by a need for the teams to be more financially secure, and which I totally understand, and to derive an income and a benefit in kind from their participation in these leagues, for want of a better word, or this league. But there are so many flaws in that concept and so much, I think, magical thinking behind it that don't understand or appreciate or take enough recognition of the differences between road racing and absolutely everything else in the sporting like firmament, because it's just not the same. Yeah.
And we have to point out the elephant in the room, and the whole reason this even happens is ASO.
ASO.
Because they will not revenue share Tour de France.
Because why would they?
Why would they? It's their business. They've decided that they can just monopolize the sport effectively. And the only way the pro cycling teams can make themselves commercially viable, understanding that ASO will never allow them to be revenue share, to actually be commercial, they have to create some alternative.
Unless, well, we'll come on to that. Unless the whole thing is about Saudi money buying everything, and that includes the ASO.
So then you've got...
Amiri Sports Organisation, the Amiri family have a price, don't they? That every organisation has a price. At some point, a bit like Pete's personality, it reaches a tipping point and they decide to move. So there would be a price. And if Saudi money even exists, because we're just talking about it like it's a thing, but if it were to exist, they could easily buy ASO, and with that the Tour de France.
There is something here where I'll be devil's advocate. Tour de France is not Paris Saint-Germain. I expect there will be governmental oversight on who owns the Tour de France. And I think there would be a lot of complications regarding shell companies and kind of shadowy front-facing, because I can't see the Tour de France being allowed to be owned by a national fund effectively in the Middle East.
There'd be absolute uproar.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that's probably one of the reasons as well. Let's say ASO, the Amaris had a total shift and said, we're going to take a socialist point of view and share this. And kind of, then all of a sudden One Cycling just disappears.
Yeah.
So this is the whole thing. The only reason that the One Cycling concept exists, and perhaps, I mean, and this is also the other rub on that, is the fact that the Tour de France know that the cycling public isn't going to care about new races spread throughout the year, no matter what stars go to them.
Yep.
And no matter what city, let's say Copenhagen, or let's imagine London, New York, at these amazing races, I'm just pulling big names, that you can guarantee they're going to go on for more than 3 years?
Yep.
And when the reason the monuments in the Tour de France, they're over 100 years old.
Yep.
They're kind of imprinted on the kind of the cultural kind of map. And so I think that value and that worth is what, at a sporting level, brings in the athletes and the spectatorship. And I think it's incredibly it's not naive. I think they're just playing perhaps a bit of a poker game, kind of trying to play a bluff of ASO and
At what point does this whole idea get dismissed? Is my next question.
They'll just keep it there, I think. I think it keeps coming back. It's like on a kind of... It keeps bouncing back.
Well, it gets dismissed once Richard Plugger has listened to this episode of Never Strays Far. So I read he gave an interview the other day. I don't know to whom, but it was reported in Cycling News. And I did kind of skim read that. And it was so low on detail that the only bits of detail that emerged were, I thought, frankly, laughable. You know, he mumbled something about TikTok accounts. And talked about, you know, like UFC fighters having millions and millions of followers. And
reference, like, was it Jake Paul? I can't remember.
Someone like that. Yeah.
UFC so fighter.
Appealing to younger generations. But, that's right. Because that would change everything, wouldn't it? If Jonas had a TikTok account, that would, like, change the sport forever.
But, okay. And also, here's an interesting one. And again, I'm being devil's advocate. Those sort of athletes are extroverts.
Yeah.
You know, so they're putting themselves in that fine. They have a public image. They nurture and I'd say exploit their kind of brand to the maximum because they enjoy their extroverts. Whereas Jonas Vingegaard doesn't want to be mobbed.
It's the way it is.
Yeah. So there is that rub as well. You want to attract a young audience and kind of do what F1 did recently with Netflix and all their different things. You want to do what he's referencing, UFC, which is a random, or boxing. Professional cyclists, at the very kind of their nature, they're generally introverts and don't enjoy being in the public eye and don't have a lifestyle that fits a public image that's cool. You know, it's just so it's probably not going to attract kind of young people coming in aspirational like F1. You get it, because it's just so rock and roll and it's all A-lister and all over the place.
And even those extroverts who have of late, you know, kind of like emerged from cycling, Peter Sagan in his weird way, and Julian Alaphilippe, right? Because we get road racing and we're invested in it and we like him and we understand how their personality traits are reflected in the way that they race, we kind of indulge them and think, that's kind of quite cool. I like the way they come across. Pogacar as well. You were talking about it last time we spoke, Pete, how, you know, he influences the way people... View that from the outside, and it just looks a bit weird. Like, where's this new audience that is going to be attracted by Julian Alaphilippe's Soudal Quickstep kit reveal parody song? You know, like, within the very strange little world of cycling, we think that's quite funny because we like Julian Alaphilippe because he's a double world champion and in his day he was a great racer. So we like the fact that he does that. But it doesn't kick out beyond that, does it? I don't think. That's not reaching anyone else other than those people who already get it. Like, I'm sorry to be like, I just don't think it's realistic. And then the other detail that he put on, you know, that he said was we should have more races that finish with circuits, which is a very good point, I think. Yeah, but it's like, it's tinkering in the margins of, like, is that, and his argument was it's better for the fans, true, but actually his argument was, really, you can put in more VIP compounds and sell more and ticket more if you do a finishing circuit. So, like, that's hardly going to... That would bring in a few more quid, but spread it amongst 22 World Tour teams? I mean, it's not even going to touch the sides, is it? And also...
Sorry. No, I was just saying, like, so what's the end goal? The end goal is basically to bring in money to the teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then how does that... So that's all they're after. So the teams can be self-sufficient and don't need to rely on sponsors to keep on going.
Or have sponsors but not be completely at the whim of a marketing budget, because there's no revenue, there's no money coming back into a pro cycling team beyond the marketing spend of the sponsors.
To achieve that, this is the only way, is basically what
you're saying. To get TV deals that then allow revenue to be shared amongst teams. Just feel, there's no ticketing, obviously.
I feel single-minded.
No merch.
When you talk about TikTok and this new type of calendar, like, it sickens me. Like, why does everything have to always come back to social media and TikTok and this, that, and the other, and moving with the times?
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head. Cycling is stuck in its times. It is of its own time.
It is.
Which is pretty niche. It doesn't fit with the modern kind of
why is that a problem,
entertainment
then?
Input or output. It is. I think that it's a problem because they can't commercialise teams. They're trying to find a solution to commercialise teams, basically.
So, and is that the only solution?
That's the one they're going for, or trying to pitch.
Because I agree with that teams need to be able to, you know, earn money for themselves. But I mean, at what cost? And there's got to be, I don't know, there's got to be a different way, surely.
Yeah. That, I mean, it would all be rosy.
If that's the only way, then if that's the only way, then is it worth it?
Yeah.
That's the decision you've got to come to as a traditionalist and fan, isn't it?
For me, unless the Saudi money changes everything, so I'll come back to that point, right? And I don't know what their ambition might be if they wanted to come in and take the whole of the sport, which they could do, because it's such a cheap sport, actually. But without that money, I don't see the sums don't add up for me. Like, okay, so ASO could like go through some random buckling and just go, yeah, we'll happily divide our entire income stream amongst 22 World Tour teams. Here you go. Here's £17.20 each. You know, like the money doesn't go that far. And that's the Tour de France. Now, if you divided the Giro, and what about the pro teams? Do they not get, like, what about the second tier? What about the concert? What about the rest of, you know, like, so they'll get absolutely nothing. You know, divide the Giro 22 times and literally, like, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. And those are the two stage races that make money. I don't suspect the Vuelta makes anything like those other two. So it's just not, I don't see the sums just aren't there. It doesn't make any sense.
It's just,
and also, kind of rub salt in that wound, let's say Saudis did buy ASO, or the Tour de France, which they'd have to buy ASO, then they'd be buying it off the valuation of ASO with the profit it's making currently.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. they then wouldn't want to split it amongst the teams.
You wouldn't have thought
because
so.
Because they're buying... No. So you kind of go back to that one. What, are you going to get a philanthropist purchaser who's going to buy it and then wipe out the profit by sharing it to all the teams?
And also, why would they want to do anything else other with the Tour de France, with their new acquisition, other than protect its identity, to protect its status? Why would they want to trash their own product? So the idea of kind of like distributing around much more equally, contractually obliging all the top riders to ride in a certain Formula One style series of races. So Jonas Vingegaard, you've got to go to Paris-Roubaix. You know, you've got to do Milan-San Remo, etc. Why would they do that? If they bought the Tour de France, they would want to do with the Tour de France exactly what is going to happen in 2024, where the only time that the top four riders, Roglic, Vingegaard, Pogacar and Evenepoel are going to meet will be at the Tour de France. That's the only race where the four of them are going to meet next year, unless that's their plans change, which obviously they could. So, you know, if they want to protect the Tour, they want to keep that sort of like status.
Yeah. And
exactly
what,
where it is.
So what if they only meet four times? How, like, look at tennis.
Yeah.
The greats don't often get to the finals. That's and also you can't, you've got to realise that cycling is cycling. You can't turn it into anything else.
Nope.
It's a group of people racing their bikes from start to finish. There's nothing you can do to the sport to make it more interesting. You either like it or you don't. I think it's bloody brilliant as it is.
Yeah.
Well, agreed. The race of the unknown distance, etc., etc. You do all that. Yeah. The turbo rider. We've been down that. Yeah. But
seriously, like you've got.
We've nipped it in the bud. Bit of an
echo
chamber.
People have got to realise that it's cycling. This is what the sport is. It's not supposed to be anything else. If you want to watch a shorter race, go and watch track cycling. You know, it's like this is the sport. What's wrong with it?
If you want laps, go and watch mountain biking or cyclocross.
Yeah. Cyclocross.
Cycling caters to everybody.
it reminds me of the first time I ever met Peter Cavendish, who was Peter Todd at the time, and she was I met her in my capacity as a sports presenter. I was presenting the coverage of a failed idea to breathe new life into snooker called Power Snooker, where you restricted every player to 10 seconds before they had to hit the bloody ball so that the game was really quick, and they wanted to jazz it all up. And so they had this big event, and each player came onto stage with two models as like walk-on girls. So, because throw a bit of sexism there, that makes it better as well. And Peter Todd was one of the walk-on girls, and that's where I first met her. In fact, I met her before Mark Cavendish met her, which is a little-known statistic in the world of cycling. But anyway,
brilliant.
Power snooker was fundamentally the wrong idea, because everything about snooker is not that.
Also, came from you, who... You know, you don't know. You haven't played snooker all your life. I feel you're not massive.
You're mistaken for thinking I had the way I played not, against you in Cali.
You know, so that's exactly my point. It's like it's coming from this guy who thinks he could make snooker more interesting. And you don't have a clue about snooker. I'm not saying certain people who are trying to change cycling don't have a clue about cycling. Don't get me wrong. Before Cycling News go and put that as a headline. But,
come on, Cycling News, I dare you.
You see my point. You see my point.
I do.
That's good. Any other news?
How much cyclocross have you been watching, David? Because your guy's been...
I have. I've just got bored after actually watching Mathieu van der Poel twice. And then even I was bored of Mathieu van der Poel.
And the problem with laps is you know what's going to happen each lap, don't you? It's like, here we go again. Here's the sandpit. Oh, he's going to dismount, do the stairs. Great idea.
No, I do look at it and I'm just in awe of how horrible it is. Mm. Like, when I want to see the mud and the sand. I'm just like, why? Mm, like, how, number one, and then just why? That looks horrible.
Passion.
Such a slog. Passion. Hats off. Yeah. So that's all about cyclocross. Actually, here's something I heard yesterday, which I hadn't been aware of. Pete, your old team, Bora, Red Bull have bought 51% of it.
Maybe it's them, not the Saudis. Maybe Red Bull.
So that would be super. So that's awesome for cycling, because getting a sponsor like Red Bull into cycling and owning that team, that's actually, they can do cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Like regards, I mean, just talking content and just general vibes. But it's not like Bora Hansgrohe.
Now, I always thought like a Monster Energy team would be so cool. Like proper crazy kit.
Yeah.
Well, that's Cavendish's team, isn't it? That's going to happen, definitely, when he retires.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh, with his Monster hats.
Yeah.
That's just bound to happen. You've nailed it there. Great prediction. Yeah.
Genius.
And I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. We've seen the future. And it looks like a monster. Yeah. Anton Palzer is a German rider who rides for Bora Hansgrohe. And he he's come to cycling from one of those weird hybrid skiing disciplines called, I can't remember what it's called, mountaineering skiing or something, where they have to ski uphill very fast.
Just like randonnée stuff. Yeah.
Really odd, like in Austria. Yeah. And he's obviously very fit. But he's a multiple world champion in that discipline. And he's signed a couple of years ago for Bora Hansgrohe, but he's a Red Bull athlete. So a bit like Wout, he wears a Red Bull and Pitters, Red Bull helmet sort of thing. It's a bit separate, different. So they've been, Red Bull have been kind of sniffing around Bora Hansgrohe for a while, actually.
They must be going after Wout because they've already taken Wout's coach for Roglic, haven't they?
Yes, I think they have. Yeah, I think you're right.
They have.
So I bet Wout's going there in 26, 25. I don't know how long his contract is. I'm just making stuff up now.
Galore here.
Yeah. Here we go. We're already talking about 25. First. Yeah, Wout's going to Red Bull.
Team Red Bull, Red Bull racing.
Red Bull.
I guess that's
it. Yeah. Bora Hansgrohe's team for the Tour de France with Roggers looks really good, by the way. Really good. So it's like one domestique, Danny van Poppel, no sprinter, and everyone else is a climber, and they're really, really good, as well as Jai Hindley, Danny Martinez, Alexander Vlasov. Bunch of other people, can't remember, but none of them are leaders. So Hindley, Vlasov, forget it. You're just working for Roggers, So
looks like a great team on January the 10th.
But you can just sit on, can't you? We've got this strong team, but like you can just sit behind Roglic in the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. He's still faster than all of them.
Yeah, but
they can just take turns again like last year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, it depends who's in the jersey, doesn't it? Like, if Jumbo-Visma, everyone sits on Jumbo-Visma, but then if Bora Hansgrohe en masse are still there, when they shouldn't be, when Jumbo have kind of shredded it or think they shredded it, or in the past they've been able to shred it, and there's Bora still sitting there with five riders going, we're still here.
And ultimately you just see Roggers sitting by the side of a gravel road.
Peeling an orange.
Broken. Yeah. That's it then, news-wise.
Hello, everybody. It's Ned here. But then again, I guess you kind of know that because you're literally listening to Never Strays Far. So if you don't know that, then you'll be completely lost by this point. We have news to announce. AG1 are going to continue supporting us and being at our side throughout 2024, which is enormously important to us and for which we're very grateful, not least because that means that there will be a regular supply coming into the Kenyuk, Miller and Bolting household of AG1. A habit which has become part of all three of our lives. I can absolutely guarantee that as we drink every morning AG1 for its comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. Why? Well, it helps throughout the day and builds up over time with focus and energy, particularly for me as I sit most days in the winter trying to write at my desk, fending off cats. But also as the weather gets extremely cold, there are real benefits for your immune system as well. So if you want to be part of our journey and join us on that journey, and if you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. That's drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. Check it out. So, yeah. David, you had an idea about what we might should talk about. I mean, I had a looser idea. I said, why don't we just bring each of us three things that we want to discuss to the table, to the virtual table, to the podcast table, mm-hmm. And then you kind of upped the ante a little bit and said, well, no, let's be more specific. Yeah.
Well, I said resolutions because it's that time of year, and even if you fight resolutions, and it's like I'm not going to because that's me peeking out too soon, and I know what's going to happen. I thought, we still make resolutions, don't we?
No.
And so I thought it'd be nice to... Well, you clearly don't, judging by the three we've already seen.
Yeah.
Well, you're older. You've just worn out of them.
I never did it.
You know yourself too well.
I never...
Of course you didn't.
A bit of that.
Of course you didn't, Ned.
But also, I think New Year's resolutions are a bit like... I don't believe that anyone does them, let alone any... I mean, no one actually holds to them. And I don't think anyone actually does them either. I think people just say, yes, this is my, you know... I think it's a bit like Guinness, that people who say, I really like Guinness, I think are lying. Because
yeah.
No one really likes
How
Guinness.
How can you like Guinness?
Absolutely disgusting.
Oh,
but it's vile. Kind of like, you think that you should... And whiskey is completely disgusting. But lots of people say they like whiskey.
I tried doing
so
that
So I think
for
it's
bit.
Just... Yeah, it's not nice, is
Sat
it?
There drinking like... You know, like trying to, yeah, I'm a whiskey drinker.
Or cigars.
With cigars. Yeah.
Make no sense.
No.
Pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally. But no, there is something there because let's change it to then, you've got to be resolved on something. You've got to have some resolve regards your actions. Kind of, and it's just New Year's gives you an excuse to actually kind of take note of them.
I just think Ned's so well balanced. And so happy and content
yeah,
with his life
right.
that he doesn't even...
It's just on such an even keel, isn't he, Ned?
I'm shallow.
It's like,
I'm
yeah.
shallow. Although, David, I it's did like, wake up the other morning having had a really bad imposter dream. I can't remember. Thankfully, I can't remember the details of it.
Oh, God, don't get me going on dreams.
So but I've had some...
They never been, go. It never goes.
I've been very psychoactive recently
me
at
too.
Night.
Ah... Maybe that's See, that's something trying to get out. That's
Maybe
something trying to get
so
out.
Much stuff, yeah.
Maybe you need to just confront this. Maybe you just need to go understand that, you know, at the moment you consider yourself to be like just a steamboat cruising through life while Pete's like on this ship raging through storms or becalmed. Then maybe you've got to lift those sails up a little bit. Take a punt. Rather than just chug along.
Pete's like a... Pete would be like one of those crazy catamarans in the America's Cup.
Like, you know, like 80 kilometers
so
an hour.
So quick.
And then keeling over.
No!
Holding it at 45 degrees. Holding it.
It's going to tip. If you've been regretting maybe shaving the mullet, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That was put into process.
I feel like your mullet's like my career. You know.
But that's it, Pete. You just nailed it as
let
well.
Let it go too soon.
That mullet, he felt like an imposter with the mullet.
I did, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That is so true, I did. I did.
Yeah,
I never owned the mullet. I never...
This is
absolutely, you've nailed it.
So this is what goes through my head. So, like, this morning, I really wanted to wear a bucket hat to take the kids to school. And I was like, no, you can't do that because it's just people would think you'd like, you know, you're losing the plot a bit. But then I was like, but surely I should be able to express myself. But actually, you can't. You can't express yourself because you get judged and then, you know, it might be a job that you're not allowed to get or anything in life because of...
That bucket has like a butterfly. It's like sliding doors, isn't it?
And so then I'm like, well, what's that? Where's that leave me?
Yeah.
Do I conform or do I truly express...
Disrupt. You're a disruptor, Pete, and that's your true nature. So if you're going to be true to your true nature, and you know Michel Foucault, the great French philosopher, he spoke very, you know, in very great detail about the way society acts on us from the moment we're born and puts us in these little departments with these identities and all that sort of thing. But you've got to find this liminal space at the edges where you can disrupt. And he uses the term eruption with an I. Not eruption with an E, like, you know, Mandetta, but eruptions. Yeah. You've got to look for little, so, and they, that's a, that can be...
That lies.
Yeah, you've got to find these little fissures and these cracks, and the bucket hat would have been a way of you just leaving your little stamp on the day, and you're, so tomorrow, bucket hat. So you're on the school run tomorrow?
But then, I could be. So then the next question is the fact that I've even thought that it's not okay means that I'm actually maybe a little bit not okay with it. If I truly was expressing, then I'd just put it on and go and walk through.
No, Pete, I know what this is. This is because you're January Pete.
Oh, yeah.
January Pete doesn't want to disrupt. January Pete doesn't want to disrupt. January Pete wants to conform. You know, if you go back to November Pete, he was all over the disruption. Mm-hmm.
Bucket
December
hat.
As well.
Yeah.
And there, now it's like, nope.
Maybe that's a good conform thing, Pete, then. Maybe that's, Pete. That's I'm getting to the to the right
but
place.
But it's going to come out again. I don't know. You've got to find that middle ground. Oh, let's see if you can conform and disrupt. There's your magical place.
True.
So, yeah. So, anyway, so the resolutions, I think...
where three should we resolutions start? Each. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, David. Why not? Since you've led on it. You know, lead away. Yeah.
Let me get mine up. So, I started with...
this is David's resolution
pretty much. Let me see. I've wrote them down. Maintain daily habits of meditation and journaling, because I've started doing that last year and it would be a little bit sporadic, but I was getting into the swing of it and I kind of found my way of doing it after two or three different kind of attempts, prolonged attempts. And I came into the start of the year and I thought, actually, I like the idea of kind of beginning the year, taking my learnings of last year and starting to apply them. And weirdly, it's coming really easily. And I've kind of found it now that it's just fits into my day perfectly. And it kind of feels like a habit. And I thought, well, this is great. Let's stick to this. And kind of sometimes I'll remember at the end of the day, oh, yeah, I've got to do it. And I know it's only going to take 5 or 10 minutes. I'm not a perfectionist on it anymore. Like the first attempt I tried last year, I was being super perfectionist as ever. I'm going overboard. And if I didn't think I could do it properly, I wouldn't do it. And I'd then get angry and then just kind of miss out. And now I'm like, you know what? And then it would just go into this descending spiral and then I'd have to reboot and go again. And sound familiar now?
I can recognize that pattern, David. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've decided this year not to be a perfectionist about it. And so that is just a daily habit. And I'm enjoying it and it doesn't feel like a compromise or I'm having to make time or kind of there's not a negative thing when I realize I haven't done it. I just go and do it quickly and it's done. And so maintaining that habit of meditation and journaling, because it's really good for kind of just the meditation, just for actually stopping and being still. And then the journaling just as a, because I'm not on social media, it's almost like posting to myself of something that's happened in the day. And it's just a nice way to kind of close a day. So,
great.
Yeah, I enjoy that. So that's good. And I find that just is a good baseline. My second
Whoa. What's journaling? Oh. Is that keeping a diary?
Oh, journaling. Yeah, it's keeping a diary. But it's kind of, it can be from, actually what I do, I use an app and I just kind of often will go and see if I've taken a photo during the day or something. I've just put a photo on there and write something about that picture. And then if there's been anything else in my head or anything else that's happened, I'll just note it down.
Actually, that's really nice.
Often,
I like that.
Yeah, and often just try and find something that I'm grateful for in the day.
Yeah.
So closing the day with just finding something in the day that, as simple as it could be, you know, it could be picking the kids up from school. It could be if I was doing something on the bike, it was great. Or if I'd actually done the meditation, which do, you know, just finding that one thing where I end the day where, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And it kind of, it's a really nice way to close the day.
That's lovely.
And so, yeah. So I'm doing that. And here's the what I learned from last year, because I've read a lot and I was advised to do it, and everyone's like, well, do it written, write it down, because it has a much stronger effect when you actually write it down with a pen and paper,
yep.
which I get,
yep.
and which is true. And I was doing that, but I found with traveling, and again, that's where my perfection sort of comes in. I didn't like if it was messy or I get it wrong. Whereas yeah. I've found an app now I use, which is really simple, and I can just write it in there as like a little note, and it just all gets banked on there with the pictures, and I can do it anywhere. And even just like if I remember in bed, just like I can just pick up the phone and scribble it in. So yeah, it's a compromise, and that's what I mean about the compromise. I found a way that works for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Just on that, the meditation thing, I'd like to be able to do that. My years and years ago, my partner Kath, she insisted that we went to a Tai Chi retreat for a weekend.
Oh, nice.
Well, I wasn't ready for it, really.
No.
It was. I mean, I greatly admire Tai Chi, but it wasn't my idea, and there was a bit of me that quite resented being told to go to this residential weekend of doing Tai Chi all day, every day. And I remember I got to morning coffee break on day two, and everyone there was a bit kind of Tai Chi, as you can imagine, you know, but in a Western way, you know, not in a terribly authentic way, you know. And I just remember standing by the coffee dispenser, and one of the more kind of enthusiastic Tai Chiists kind of sidled up to me and went, and I'll never forget this conversation, said, "So, how are you finding it?" And I said, "Absolutely terrible." and she said, but the thing was, she just went, "Isn't it marvelous?" Back to me, literally the words had not got through. Like I'd said, I could not have been more clear about what I thought of it. And she, because she was in full Tai Chi mode, she just batted it away, and it had not got through or penetrated at all. But I should maybe...
There you go.
I should revisit that.
Well, you know what you should do? Because there's a few apps. The Waking Up by Sam Harris is really good, and you just do the beginner's course. It's like 1 month.
That is really good.
And it's like every day, 10 minutes.
You got me onto that, David.
And it's kind of... It's really good. And actually, I found just even going back and keeping doing that starter course is really good. 10 minutes a day.
Very good.
Yeah. So there you go.
Pete, let's look at Pete's first resolution now, I think.
Oh.
Move on to Pete. Again, this is quite
heavy. Actually, after I spoke to David about journaling yesterday, that was feels like a week ago already.
But
I'm actually going to start it as well, but I'm going to do it the old school way with pen and paper. And what I really like the idea of, because I thought it'd be lovely to look back on at the end of the year. And I'm not going to commit to every day, but at least a couple of times a week. I'm going to get a Polaroid camera like you have as well, David. And I'm going to stick the pictures in and then just write short snippets underneath them, whether it be about how I feel, how the day was. Because I just think to look back over the year will be really beautiful. Anyway.
That's a great idea.
Very good.
I was a bit... when you came up with the idea, David, to go through our resolution, I was a bit unsure because I've really come into this year with the idea of I want actions to speak louder than words. If that makes sense, to the point where people go, you know, isn't Pete doing really well at this, or doesn't he seem to be, you know, really on top of life, whether it be to do with work or home? So, yeah, that I was a bit unsure, you know, but I'm going to say them anyway because it's a podcast and people want to know. But I've already forgotten exactly what I wrote, so I'm just trying to find our group message. Okay. Number one. And it kind of leads on to number two, number one, but we'll just do number one for now, like you said, Ned. Regain more self-belief and respect. So self-belief and self-respect. For me to gain more of that within myself this year, because, yeah, a lot of the times I really do struggle with self-belief, and I think that's holding me back in life, whether mainly career-wise, and what I'm capable and what I can do. And I think this year is really important for me. And then I said it towards the end of last year, but, you know, during the first 6 months of this year, I really want to plan out what the next 5 years of my life look like. And I got asked a question, I can't remember who by, whether it was last year or the year before, you know, about, you know, what are your goals? I think I might have been Fran, actually, David. But I said, actually, I'm quite happy just living in the moment and being present. And,
yeah,
I don't really have any long-term goals or ambition right now. I'm just doing what I'm doing. I'm enjoying life. But I've got to the point now where actually I'm starting to feel like I need a bit of a plan, and I want some, you know, some short-term goals with more of an idea of what life looks like further in the future. So part of that is, you know, getting on top of my lifestyle routine, etc., and figuring out what that looks like and how my career develops and in what direction it goes over the next 3 years, really. And then
I've got
the self-respect was just that was I just feel like sometimes I'm just, whether it be led astray or, you know, do things that I don't want to do, I just feel like I could really work on my own self-respect and how I view,
bit of self-love,
how I view myself as a person.
I think they're great, Pete.
I think they're great. And I was gonna, sorry for trying to interrupt you, but I've got two little thoughts from listening to what you say. One is, when you set goals, my advice to you is make them achievable. Like, don't be crazy over ambitious with them. So, you know, they make them within reach, you know, a stretch, but within reach, because that's the way that I would sense you, that you would progress, you know, towards bigger, and then set another one after that, and then another one, you know. It doesn't have to be the end goal straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Each stage as it comes, huh? and then the other thing I wanted to say was that I think a lot of our listeners will be kind of not amazed, but they'll be thinking, Pete's got so much going for him and so much, you know, I think our listeners are very fond of you and very much admire you, and will probably be thinking, why's Pete even got this self-doubt? There's so much going on that's so different and brilliant and wonderful and something to be celebrated. So I think you should feel extremely validated by the position and respect that our substantial listenership holds you in, because they've got to know you, as we have over the last three or four years, extremely well. So those are my only thoughts about that.
It's like a therapy couch, isn't it?
Well, let's move on to my first resolution then, and that's to shave daily.
What? That's ridiculous. Come on,
that's ridiculous.
And it's only because I am one of those people. Do you all use, what shape razors do you guys use? I never asked you this. Do you
Gillette use electric multi-blade thing?
Mac 3.
Gillette Mac 3. Mac 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all use the same brand of razor. Okay. We should get sponsored by them, really. But so Gillette Mac 3. If you haven't shaved for like almost like in my case a day and a half, 2 days, and you use a Mac 3 razor, and it'll be fine, but then the next time you come to shave, you've blunted it, and it has to be thrown away. You can only do, you're only going to use them like twice if you've left it a bit late.
No, you
late
can't.
To shave. No,
you
but
can
if you shave
razor
every
for ages,
if you shave every day.
Okay,
that's the
see.
That's the point. So if you shave every day, you can use one Mac 3 razor for maybe 7, 8,
wow.
10 days.
Can I just say, Ned, you are taking these micro small goals really to heart.
Right, what's
I mean,
your
Pete,
what's your
don't
second
go that small.
What's your second resolution, David?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My second resolution is... hang on, just like Pete looking up a second. I put do sport in a less isolated manner. In fact, probably just stop isolating so much and don't go too crazy on the sport.
In fact, probably.
Because I went a bit too hard on the sport last year to the poor point of breaking my foot in
really
December.
Did.
From
breaking your foot.
You were actually crazy at one point during the tour. Bloody hell. My word.
I know, I loved it.
That was insane.
But I realised it became more of just a mind-numbing exercise.
Yeah.
And then I had 3 weeks off after my foot was buggered and had some time to actually think. And, and I thought, actually, I can do this. I can exist without sport. Maybe there's a happy medium between kind of dedicating so much and just numbing myself and actually making it a healthy part of my life. And that tied with actually perhaps sharing sport a bit more and kind of getting out there with people. And actually started this Chapter 3 Sports Club to try and get people within Chapter 3 to join up and to kind of build this community where we do stuff, be it not just cycling, but running. Go on, Ned.
Why not do a sport that is fun, right? Cycling's not fun and running's not much fun. So why not do wall ball or paddle or something in a team?
Not paddle. Yeah,
you won't like it.
Play rounders with the boys.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Do something in a team because that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
I feel like you should really think about this resolution, David, because me knowing you, there's a big part of being in isolation that you really enjoy. So you've got to find the balance of, well, I guess why you're doing it, and is it because it's unhealthy for you to be isolated, even though you really enjoy it? Is what I'm thinking because I really like doing sport alone as well, and I tried playing five-a-side with a group of some friends, some acquaintances in the morning, and I just I didn't get my fix. I didn't enjoy it at all.
But Pete, that's why we're cyclists.
That's why you're cyclists,
and that's why we're cyclists, and that's why we're elite cyclists because we were kind of that's in our nature, and that goes back to what I was saying before about the kind of fine line between being an introvert and kind of being a recluse. And I think also that's. But one of the things I do know, it's really lovely to share the sport, even if you kind of we enjoy the isolation, to kind of set the challenges, to kind of know other people are doing it, because there's a certain amount of accountability and the kind, and you, it does increase the emotion of the kind of the what you're doing by actually kind of having meaning something else beyond your own kind of
running headspace. Running in packs is actually, I think, is way better. Than on your own.
That's so easy, isn't it?
It goes so fast.
Go running at the tour.
Yeah, it just flies by, doesn't it? You add a few, maybe five or six people to that, and you just get in on the heels. You just, the kids go like that.
I think there's a lot of us like that now, and I think it's kind of coming out of the side of cycling and its boom in kind of 2012 boom, where everyone's going out in groups, and now people are starting to realise that they've become cyclists, and they like doing it on their own, but they also miss the camaraderie. So there's this, and it's exactly what you're saying. How do you find that line of camaraderie and shared moments without losing your kind of the love of the solo pursuit and the headspace? So so that's my do sport.
I used to do like
don't isolate. An
don't isolate. In fact, what was it? Don't take part in what was it again? Quickly.
Well, I'll read it out to you again. Do sport in a less isolated manner. In fact, probably just stop isolating
that
so
was
much.
My favorite.
Don't go too crazy on the sport.
So it's like, do sport in a less isolated manner. And then it's like, in fact, like just maybe stop isolating altogether.
Yeah. I'm horrified that the consequences might mean that we, like, if we go back to the tour of Britain, that we'll have to actually not have room service every evening. We'll have to go and eat.
That was end of the year. We were just, our social kind of battery was done. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We're just going to waiting for Christmas at that point.
God. Yeah. Anyway,
All right, Pete.
Okay.
Pete, we'll see number two.
Number two, create a lifestyle that enables me to do that, which is number one, i.e. routine, which is, this is pretty, I mean, pretty generic as far as resolutions go, but for me it's actually quite important because what I don't do increases my self-doubt enables me to do that, i.e. routine, good habits, exercise, sleep, and I'm going to self-evaluate at the end of every week to make sure I'm keeping on top of that in order, because I know when I have my lifestyle in place, my self-belief and self-doubt and slight anxiety about things is far, far less compared to, when my diet's rubbish, I don't exercise, I'm drinking too much. So those are the sort of key things I've got to do in order to achieve number one.
Right, you'll have to phone in, and we'll decide whether you're up. Every week you'll have to
That could just be a part of just the weekly podcast. It could just be the Pete audit.
Audit. The Paudit.
But everyone will probably be like, "Oh, we're getting back to how we used to be last year. It was so much more fun." He's so boring, Pete.
Well, yeah. There you go. You should actually, that's for the journaling thing, because the daily one's so hard, is just do a weekly journal.
Weekly journal.
And yeah, just start off with that. And then if there's more, just set yourself a goal of just doing it once a week. And then if you get more, that's great.
Yeah.
But the once a week is like your achievable. Your audit. Yeah. Mm. And what you're grateful for in that week and what did you do?
Yeah.
And there you go. And then if you get to doing more than that, then that's a bonus.
Do you have, talking about, do you guys both use Macs? You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you have that thing that flashes up on Mondays saying your screen time usage? Like...
I don't have it. I don't have the notification up. No.
I need to turn it off because it just every single week without fail says it's gone up, and I don't even get how it could possibly go up. Like it's been saying that for years. So, but anyway, talking about weekly audits. All right. So my number two is I've got to refrain from using the following phrases in commentary.
Terminal.
terminal. I've got four of them. No, five of them. Terminal. Pete's just nailed it. Okay, terminal.
Terminal velocity.
It's going to turn into podcast bingo for all our listeners.
Terminal, right. Break the elastic. I'm sick of hearing myself say that. Absolutely sick of it. Although I had a shower this morning and I was thinking, what could you say?
What's the alternative?
Loose the bounds of gravity. That's a bit wordy and poet, you know. Because it is actually a perfect thing, isn't it, breaking the elastic?
It's
got that kind of, you know, the bit that's just broken goes off in the same direction, and the rest of it just recoils back.
You can't go all cycling on your commentary, Ned. It's like, you know, that's your commentary in a way.
Yeah.
All of us say break the elastic. That's not my unique cliche. I think all lead commentators say break the elastic.
Snapped the cord.
Like, nothing that sounds better.
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
Cut the cord. Roglic is off.
Well, here's another one straight into that. Roglic is off. He steps on the pedals. I don't like saying that, and I say steps on the pedals.
I don't notice it.
Yeah,
steps on the pedals.
Like that. Waiting to pull the trigger. I don't like that, but I say that too often. And this is the worst one of all, or maybe the easiest one to solve, David. But when we're doing landscape shots or architecture shots or history shots, landscape and architecture. Don't use the word beautiful. Just there are so many words in the thesaurus that do a more exact and a more refreshing job than beautiful. So I need to basically
post it note them to the screen.
Absolutely. So there we go. Yeah. I'm gonna refrain from using those words. So that's it. Your third resolution, David.
Write a book.
Write a book.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of been gestating for a while, and I think I'm getting closer to it. And
can you say anything about what the idea is, or maybe you shouldn't?
Well, no, because it's not. I'm literally not at that kind of point yet, but it's there. And I reckon if I went away for a month, I could get most of it done. I'm kind of at that point where I need to batter down for, which is one of the reasons actually over the past few weeks. I kind of remove myself from social media, took the apps off, and barely I check in once a week to see if I've got any messages that I need to pay attention to, like direct messages. Otherwise, I'm kind of completely disconnected from it and reading a lot more. And I can feel I'm almost kind of prepping myself to go deep, and which is really, I'm enjoying the fact that it's kind of bubbling to the surface. But I do know that I'm going to have to batter down the hatches and at least write a proposal. And kind of just start writing and write a proposal. So, yeah, that's where I'm at, which is daunting and exciting because I'm like, okay, it's taking form now in my head, which is good. So, yeah, that's my goal, is to write a book.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting. Cool. Yeah. Well, there's nothing quite like it, is it? It's such a pleasurable experience, a satisfying experience.
Yeah. Well, pleasurable is. I mean, I tell you what, and you'll know this, Pete, when you write your book, it is a very selfish kind of, you have to completely immerse yourself in it. And it is kind of, that's where I tend to stop shaving and give up on my appearance and just disappear into
that's
it.
That's perfect, though.
I know, isn't it? That's what I mean, it's quite selfish.
It's great. That's why we love it.
Just I'm going. It's like going on a deep training camp without any of the actual physicality.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So that's a good goal to have.
Pete, you should totally write a book. Why have we not discussed this before?
We have. We discussed this perhaps as Isle of Man book.
I know, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think...
We're
I just don't
have a lot of levels to it. It'd be great.
I'm not sure I've got the passion or the talent. Well, mainly the talent, but maybe the passion's not quite there. Because after reading your book, Ned, and just like discovering like the depths and just how interested you were in every part of it, I just don't I don't feel that for anything to write about.
Okay. All right then. What's
does that make sense, sir?
Yeah, kind
yeah,
of.
Makes total sense.
What's his name?
Teo Beukman.
Sorry.
Teofil Beukman. Yeah.
Beukman. Yeah. Like that was just like crazy.
I know,
it?
But that was a strange book. Like
no, but that's why it's so good though.
Thank you. Yeah. That's very kind. All right. What's your third and
my
final?
Third one is to get a track by track. I mean, in the genre of house music, signed to a label.
Love that.
That's
like your book.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But that's by the end of 2025. It's not for this year, but a lot of that work will be done this year in order to get
brilliant.
Where I want to be. So
yeah, brilliant.
That is brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. And it knocks my final resolution out of the park, which is simply to wear nicer socks and shoes. I really enjoyed David
good.
The Chapter 3 shoes that you furnished everybody with
at
like the Tour
this
de France.
One.
Yeah,
they're amazing. Yeah. And as soon as I put them on, it felt like... But the socks thing is just as important, isn't it? Like, good socks
yeah.
is
oh,
just...
Yeah. I got for your
fancy
own
socks
mental health.
In Bordeaux, I got you some fancy socks, remember, Ned?
Mate, absolutely. You still never revealed socks. You never revealed how much you paid for them. That secret, I suspect, will go with you to the grave. But they are among my favourite socks, you'll be glad to hear, because they were worth... Well, from my point of view, they were worth your investment.
Yeah, definitely.
They're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I like the Chapter 3 socks because you can wear them casually, but then also if you decide to go for a run, you just can just leave them.
They're just
you
all
don't
around.
Have to change your socks.
Yeah. Just one less hurdle.
Wear like my Nike socks and Adidas ones. They're not really comfortable in a running shoe.
It's
the essence of Chapter 3, isn't it?
The essence of Chapter 3. Just
practicality.
Can't say just do it because that's Nike.
Yeah. Oh, on the subject of Chapter 3, Chapter 3.
Except for you can't because you need to change socks.
We are hopefully got. We should have some news. Hopefully, David, on the
actually,
Flanders,
I'll chase up straight after this. Yeah,
the Flanders experience.
Yeah,
that we discussed. So it's not signed off yet. So there's a few more things to kind of like get. But we are very hopeful that we are going to be offering our listenership a joint venture roadbook Chapter 3 Never Strays Far trip to the finish line at the Tour of Flanders to share the experience between us three and a group of you guys, essentially.
Yeah. And we're looking at Sports Tours International to handle the logistics because that's what they do. And it would be, I think
brilliant.
It could be really good fun. So basically getting a group of people to come and hang out with us and watch the race with us.
Yeah.
And
Mathieu Van Der Poel.
Yeah. Oh, I'd lose my mind.
So that,
I'll know more on that by the next podcast.
Yeah, but what we do know that you can do to support the podcast is our merch. Now it's got cold in the UK. Get yourself a beanie hat. Get yourself a bobble hat. Get yourself a t-shirt ready for spring. And all the merch is there's a link in the show notes and get involved. And it's all runs through the Chapter 3 website. And in fact, if you go to chapter3.com, it's like Never Strays Far is the first page.
I know.
That comes
We just put it on there. Yeah,
massive prominence. Amazing.
Yeah, I know. Very good.
We have to speak again soon. We're scheduled to do another podcast on Monday. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But let's throw this one over.
A lot can happen in the cycling world.
A lot can happen. If it doesn't, we'll need some other like talking points. So throw it up to the listenership. What would they like us to discuss, maybe? Yeah?
That's a great idea. Yeah. Let's do it.
So you know, tweet us, X us, even though I'm the only one who sort of looks at that account.
At Never Strays Far.
At Never Strays Far. Let us know what you think we should be talking about in our next podcast episode, which is coming up pretty soon. And in the meantime, you've been listening to me, Ned Bolting.
Me, David Miller.
And me, Peter Kenyuk.
From all of us then, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.